Parshas Balak. In this week's parasha, we find a very vivid description of Bilam and all of his activities. And the famous Mishnah in Avos really sums up all the midos of Bilam HaRasha. But the way that the Mishnah does so needs explanation. The Mishnah says in Perek Hey in Masechtas Avos, Kol mi sheyesh biyodoi shloisha dvarim halalu. Anybody who seems to possess the following three midos must be mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. This does not obviously mean literally a disciple of Avraham Avinu, because otherwise, why would the Mishnah be talking about it? It's history. Rather, anybody, even in our generation, if you see somebody who displays the following three midos, he can be classified as a Talmid of Avraham Avinu. V'shloisha dvarim acherim, the opposite is three different midos, then clearly he is a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha. What are those differences? Ayin toivo, a good positive eye. V'ruach namucha, somebody of lowly spirit, meaning not a balgaiva, a nefesh shfela, and somebody who does not have taivos. Those three midos taivos is mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. As opposed to, if you see somebody who happens to possess the opposite midos, in other words, an eye in raw, an evil eye, ruach gavoya, a haughty spirit, is a balgaiva, a nefesh rechava. He has expansive taivos, then he must be a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, besides for the difference in classification, one is titled as a Talmid of Avraham Avinu, the other is titled as a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha, says the Mishnah, Ma bein Talmidov shel Avraham Avinu le Talmidov shel Bilam HaRasha. What is the difference? How does it manifest itself? Is it just a question of title and classification? Says the Mishnah, Talmidov shel Avraham Avinu, Oichlin bo'olam hazeh v'noichlin bo'olam haba. If you are a worthy Talmid of Avraham Avinu, then you are Oichel bo'olam hazeh and you will inherit olam haba. As opposed to if you are a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha, Yorshin Gehenim. Then your Yerusha is Gehenim. The Yordim Lebe'er Shachas, and it drags you to the deepest abyss. Shenemar Va'ato Elohim Teiridein Lebe'er Shachas. Amshei Domim U'mirmo Lo Yechasu Yemeim, they will not even be Zeicha to half of a full life. As we'll soon see in the Gemara, Talmidim of Bilam die young. So if you're a Talmid of Avraham Avinu, you have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And if you're a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha, you have neither Olam Hazeh nor Olam Haba. This is a very famous Mishnah. There is, however, an equally famous Kasha. And we actually discussed this last year, and we'd like this year to suggest perhaps a new approach. The question we discussed last year is, it's a very strange thing to write, Ma bein Talmidei Avraham Avinu le Talmidei Bilam HaRasha, as if to say, what in fact is the difference? Who says there is a difference? And the Mishnah needs to explain to me what actually is the Nafkamina, what is the Chiluk between the two Talmidim? What, besides for that, everything is the same? As if to say that in some way they are comparable? We all would have thought there's absolutely no comparison whatsoever. It's like saying, what's the difference between a table and an apple? What do you mean, what's the difference? There's nothing in common. There's no way that they can be compared. If you ask what's the difference, it means that there's something very much in common, therefore the difference needs to be pointed out. But there's nothing in common between a table and an apple, so you don't need a Mishnah to say, Ma bein a table and an apple. And if you say ma bein talmidei Avram and talmidei Bilam, then clearly the Mishnah is referring to some deep-rooted commonality between Bilam, the talmidim thereof, and Avram Avinu, and the talmidim thereof. So last year, and I'll just mention it very briefly, we mentioned a very profound mahalach of Agoyin of Shlomo Hyman. And he says that there is indeed great commonality. Because the Doir of Avraham Avinu was a generation steeped in Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu is called Avraham HaIvri. Ivri means Ava, you're on the other side. He was literally against the flow. He was a one-man band, at least initially. He didn't end up a one-man band. The Rambam describes Avraham Avinu went from town to town and ended up with the biggest Kiruv movement in history. The Rambam talks about Alofim V'Ravovois. He had tens of thousands of followers, but essentially they were going against the tide. Says Rav Shlomo Hyman, so was Bilam. Because Bilam lived at a time when Klal Yisrael were flying sky high. Everybody knew about Klal Yisrael. Everybody had heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and everybody had heard about Makas Bechayres and about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shomu Amim Yirgozun. Everybody knew about Matan Torah. Everybody knew that Klal Yisrael were the Am HaNivchar. How was it that Bilam went against the tide? So by the very fact that the Mishnah asks, what's the difference, in fact shows us that there's a lot in common. There is a lot in common, just in opposite directions. Both Bilam and his Talmidim are flowing against the tide. Avraham Avinu and his Talmidim, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdolis, are also going against the tide. And that is the distinction that the Mishnah is pointing out. And Shlomo Hyman continues the theme and he says, do you know what the answer therefore of the Mishnah is? It all depends on whether you're prepared to see the emes. Do you have midos tovos or you do not have midos tovos? If you have midos tovos like Avraham Avinu and his Talmidim, then you see the emes. And even if you have a whole doyer serving Avodah Zarah and being kofa be'ikah, and you have a doyer haflogah, but with midos tovos, derech eretz kodma la'Torah, you're prepared and you're able to see the emes. How was it that Bilam was able to flow against the tide as well? Because he did not have midos tovos, and he was not prepared or able to see the emes. He was only able to see his own taivas and gaivas. Bilam is described as in Chazal as the chocham shebachachomim. And if you read this parasha, it doesn't quite sound like that. It sounds absurd and foolish taina after absurd and foolish taina. Where's the great chokhmah of Bilam? We don't see that in this week's parasha. This is what we described last year. If you go through the parasha, the answer is it's true. But once Bolok approached him and dangled some money, and dangled some cover in front of Bilam, he was unable after that to see the truth. He could be the greatest chacham of all, but what does the Torah say? Ki hasheichad ye'aver einei chachamim. Wisdom is worth nothing if a person is bribed by kesef, by taiva, by gaiva. And all of those were offered and were dangling in front of Bilam Arasha. He couldn't after that see the truth, and therefore he was able to go against the tide. This is what we discussed last year. It's a very profound, very beautiful, but very fundamental pshat. The comparison between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha is that they both went against the tide. And the koyach to do that depends on whether you have midos tovos and you're able to see the emes, or midos rois and you're unable to see the emes. This year, I'd like to share with you a different approach that I saw in the name of the Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva, the great Rav Meir Chodosh, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Equally profound and very, very fundamental as well. We mentioned before that the Mishnah concludes by saying that the difference between Avram and Bilam is Avram has Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Bilam and his Talmidim do not. And the Mishnah brought a pasuk where it says, Am sheidomim u'mirmo lo yechetsu yemeyem. They won't even be zeicha to a half of an average lifespan. And the Gemara gives us an example. The Gemara quotes this very pasuk. But there are some Rishoyim who lo yechetsu yemeyem. They don't even have half of an average lifespan. What is an average lifespan? We know from Chazal HaKadoshim, Yemeim Shel Adam is Shivim Shana. Says the Gemara, Doyeg and Achitofel died at the ages of 34 and 33, respectively. Neither of them got to the 35-year milestone. 35 years would represent Yechetsu Yemeihem. They did not reach them. Va'alzeh nema anshei domim u'mirmo lo yechetsu yemeihem. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, a phenomenal observation. Doyeg and Achi Teufel are described in this Gemara as being terrible Rishoyim. They're being described with the pasuk of Anshei Domim u'mirmo lo yechetsu yemeihem, which was the exact pasuk that was used in the Mishnah to describe the Talmidim of Bilam. In other words, you're telling me that Doyeg and Achitofel are Talmidim of Bilam, and that's why they didn't even hit the 35-year age mark. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, but the Gemara tells us that Doyeg v'Achitofel were initially the Roshei Sanhedrin. We're talking about the Godel Hador, at least initially. And yet these people are being described with the very posse that talks about Talmidei Bilam Arasha. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, and here comes the big Yesoid. This is our fundamental mistake. We view Talmidei Avraham Avinu as being the frum, charedi, learner, yoshev beis hamedrash. And what does the Talmid Bilam Arasha look like? How will they depict him in their children's cartoon books? Somebody low life, devoid of Torah or mitzvahs, doesn't learn, doesn't daven, drays around in the street. Says the Gemara, you're so wrong. What is the difference between Bilam Arasha's Talmidim and Avraham Avinu's Talmidim? And the answer is, on the surface, nothing. There is no difference. You might well be the Godel Hador. You might well be the Rosh Sanhedrin. And that's what the Mishnah is asking. Ma bein Talmidei Avraham le Talmidei Bilam? We ask, what's the difference? There's nothing in common. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, there's everything in common. In fact, there's so much in common, they look exactly the same. Who could tell that Doeg v'Achitofel, the Rosh Sanhedrin, were destined to die at the ages of 34 and 33, because they were, in fact, Talmidim of Bilam Arasha? Says Rav Meir Chodosh, what the Mishnah is teaching you is that it all depends on the underlying sheirish. If a person is corrupt, the midah is ra'is, and even if initially it's not obvious to the naked eye, but in time it will manifest itself. That sheirish, it's like a seed in the ground, where you plant a seed and it looks like nothing's happened. But in time, you see the great product of that seed. And you see a tree that's grown and flourish and produces fruit. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, that is the limud of our Mishnah. Don't make a mistake of thinking that it's discernible, the difference between Bilam's Talmidim and Avraham's Talmidim, because one's learning in the Beis HaMedrash and one is messing about doing nothing. No, that's not the difference. In fact, the difference may not be visible whatsoever. The Chazal are telling you that if the Shoresh is rotten, then the product is rotten as well, even if it looks all the world to you and to me like a tzaddik, like a Rosh Sanhedrin. He looks like a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. He's actually a Talmud of Bilam HaRosha. And eventually, he won't even be Zeicher to hit the 35-year-old milestone, and he ends up being Yerush Gehenim. It's a phenomenal pshat in the Mishnah. It's a very frightening pshat in the Mishnah. That sometimes there could be midos ra'os that eventually only take root at a much later stage. And initially you don't see their manifestation. So much so that the Mishnah has to ask a question. What's the difference between Bilam's Talmidim and Avraham Avinu's Talmidim? They all look the same to me. Says the Mishnah, the difference is in the Shrashim. One is corrupt to the core. And you will see it eventually manifest itself. It may not initially be discernible to the eye. You may well have somebody who's got a long beard and a big Talmud Chacham and a Rosh Sanhedrin. He could also be a Talmud of Bilam HaRosha. Don't be confused. Check his midos. Check where he's coming from. If he's coming from Bilam HaRosha, if he's coming from that school of thought, then he may well be rotten to the core. And the difference might not have yet manifested itself in an external way, but it will eventually. This is a tremendous lesson. Because we see, for example, where the famous Gemara tells us in Chagiga, Maisa Ba'acher, a Tana who's not even described by name, he's just called Acher. He was riding a horse on Shabbos. And Rav Meir was walking after him, wanted to learn Torah for him. Acher was, after all, Talmud Chacham. Omale Chazor Becho, Chazor Becho. He told Acher, why don't you be Chayza B'Tshuva instead of riding your horse on Shabbos? He said, I can't. Shomati Me'achere HaParagoyz. I've heard a hidden voice saying everybody could do tshuva, chutz me acher. And Tosfos brings the famous story. Do you know how this all began? This all began, the Gemara in Yerushalmi tells us the true story. That the father of Acher, was Megedoyle Yerushalayim. And when he had a young baby, at the Bris Milah, they made a Bris Suda, and who was invited there? Kol Gedoyle Yerushalayim. And it was a great Suda. And two Tanoim, Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Yeshua, were there, and they were Oisek in Torah during the Suda, so much so that a fire descended from heaven and encircled them. And the father says, have you come to burn my house down? That's why I invited you to the Bris Suda? And they said, no, Chas v'Shalom, this is the Koyach HaTorah. Smeichim k'misinosam b'Sinai. This is a throwback to Matan Torah. And at Matan Torah, there was also Eish. So what you're seeing in your house is not the house burning down. You're zoicha to see a reenactment of Matan Torah. And he said, well, if that's true, then I'll be mafrish, I'll dedicate my son to learning, if that's the Koyach of Torah. Says the Yerushalmi, his kavona was not l'shem shamayim. And because his kavona was not l'shem shamayim, look how his son eventually turned out. Acher was initially a Tana. Tana Elohim. kol ha-teira kula. But because of that shayresh, say Chazal, on their lofty darga, which was not l'shem shamayim, even though initially it may not have been discernible, but eventually it was. Here we're talking about a shayresh, which essentially was not his own shayresh, it was his father's kavona shalei l'shem shamayim, but that manifested itself later, on a later date, with his children, who ended up being mechallelei Shabbos. And this actually is written explicitly in the words, the very famous words of the Ramban, on the Pasuk, where it says, maybe there is somebody here in Pasuk Nitzavim. Maybe there is somebody here, Roish Teire Velano, which are bitter herbs, and the Ramban explains, is there somebody here, Pen Yesh Bochem Shoyresh Ra, is there an evil root somewhere? Sheyifrach veYishkel beYomim haBoim, which might in the future produce prochim roim, evil results. VeYatzmiach meRoyreis, and will have a very bitter end. That's what it means in that pasuk. Remember in Parshas Netzavim, where it says we are addressing all of Klal Yisrael, both those that are here today and those who are not. And the Ramban says, what does that mean? Those who are not here today. Because if the Shoyresh is rotten today, it will affect the children in the future. My great Rebbe and Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva of Gateshead, Rav Ron Gurevitch Shlita, Sheyarech Yomim Veshonim. His father, the previous Gateshead Rosh Hashiva, Rav Leib Gurevitch, was a son-in-law of the great Rav Elia Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I heard that when Avraham Gurevitz was born, his illustrious grandfather of Elia Lapian was unable to attend the bris. So he wrote a letter to his son-in-law, Rav Leib Gurevitz, wishing him mazel tov, and he wrote the following, Machshava lichvoid the bris. It says in the Pasuk of Tehillim, Kechitzim biyad hagibor. Arrows in the hands of the mighty one, Kain b'nei hanu'urim. These are the days of youth. Why are the days of youth compared to arrows b'yad hagibor? Listen to the following interpretation of Rav Elia Lapian. Can you imagine, he said, two giborim, two archers, both holding a bow and an arrow. And they're both poised, bow in their hands, to shoot this arrow. And each one has their technique. One holds the bow and arrow a little bit like that, and one holds it a little bit differently. And if you would ask, what's the difference between the two archers? You'd say, basically nothing. He's holding it, it's all basically the same. And then they shoot the arrow. And all of a sudden, you see one arrow travel 50 meters and the other one 500 meters. And then all of a sudden, you realize that the way he was holding his bow and arrow, it may have looked all the same to you. Look at the result. It traveled 500 meters, 10 times further than the other one. So that little, quote unquote, difference that was made from the outset, in fact, made an enormous difference at the end. Said Rav Elia Lapian, Kechitzim b'yad hagibor, those are the days of youth. And this is what he was telling to his son-in-law, the Avi Aben. When you mechanach a child from a young age, you think, no, what's the difference? What's the difference if you do it this way, you do it that way, a bit more Torah, a bit less Torah? It's basically all the same. No, it's like chitzim b'yad hagibor. When that arrow leaves the bow and the two arrows are flying through the air, initially you don't see any difference. But eventually one arrow begins to lose a bit of speed and koyach and drops, and the other one is still flying with full force. That's the kain b'nei ha-nu'urim. That's the koyach of the nu'urim. The koyach of the hashpah from the early days. And this was the brocha he was giving to his Talmud Chacham of a son-in-law, the Megeitzed Rosh Hashiva, that you should be zoicha to understand that from the B'nei Anu'urim, realize that every hashpa, every koyach that you can invest in your children will have far, far reaching consequences. And Baruch Hashem, his brachos niskayim. This is the lesson of our Mishnah. It might not be discernible to the naked eye. You can have doyeg v'achitofel, who look for all the world like Talmidim of Avram Avinu. But in fact, they are in Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. How do you know? Look at the final result. 34 and 33 years of age. The Pasuk of Anshei Domim u'Mirma lo yechesu yemehem. Let me just finish with the following episode story that I read this week. The great Mir Mashkiach, Rabbi Yerucham of the Mir, once met a German professor, Jewish but completely irreligious. And this professor asked Rabbi Yerucham, he says, tell me, have you ever read in any of the books, any of the writings of Kant? Kant was a great, quote unquote, German philosopher, I think, who had views which were very, very far removed from anything to do with Hashkafas HaTorah, Mole Kfira. And Rabbi Yerucham said, no, I have not read them. And have you read this? And have you read that? And have you read the other? No, I haven't. I've never read, I've never looked at any of these books, said Rabbi Yerucham. So the professor said to him, so if that's the case, how can you claim that our derech is wrong and yours is right? You've never read our literature at all. If you would read your Torah and you would read our literature and you'd come to a conclusion that yours is better, no, the Seder, I can hear your argument, but you've never even looked at ours at all. Said Rabbi Yerucham, and this is Mamash the Yisoy that we've been discussing. He said, look at the Peiros. Look what those people who do read your literature, look how they've turned out. Do you know what they've produced? The culture that has produced Nazi Germany. Those are the Talmidim of Kant. Those are the Talmidim of the literature that you're describing. Do you know what the Talmidim, do you know what the Peiros of our literature is? The Heilige Chofetz Chaim, the Heilige of Chaim Oizer Virginsky, etc., etc. Chazal HaKadoshim and the Torah HaKadosha, you can judge it by looking at what it produces. He said to him, look at your universities. Your universities that are studying this literature all have to have guards outside because there's murder going on and there's drugs going on. The Kol Aveirei Sheva Olam. He said, in our yeshiva, there's no guard standing outside the Mir yeshiva to make sure there's no unruly or unethical behavior. So I don't need to read your literature. It speaks for itself by virtue of its results. That's Das Torah. And that is exactly what our Mishnah is describing. Look at the results of Talmidei Bilam and Talmidei Avram. Because even if it's not initially discernible, but eventually you get a Bilam HaRasha who wants to be Mekalel Klal Yisrael. You get a Doeg and Achitofel. But the Talmidim of Avram Avinu, because their Shroshim was so positive, that carries them through. They have Olam Hazeh, Oichlim Bo'olam Hazeh, and then Noichlim Bo'olam Haba. So either way, we have two very profound and very fundamental, important yesodos in explanation of this Mishnah. What is the difference between a Talmidim of Avram or Bilam, as if to say there's much in common? There is indeed much in common. Reb Shlomo Hyman interpreted it as to say there is much in common. They both went against the tide. And it all dependent on whether you have midos tovos and you see the emes, or midos rois and you don't see the emes. And the Chevron Mashkiach Rameya Chodosh is telling us that the common denominator is that it may well look exactly the same, at least on the outside. But if their shroshim are corrupt, then they indeed are also corrupt to the core. Imagine if you buy two apples from the greengrocer. They may well look to the naked eye both exactly the same, but one of them has a worm at its core. So before you know it, the whole apple is moldy. You may not well have seen that from the outset, but that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Don't make a mistake of judging the book by its cover. Look at the eventual result. Kachitzin b'yad agibor. It all depends. Toiv acharis dovo me reishisoi. Look at the reishis. If the shayresh is positive, that will produce positive results. And if it doesn't, it will produce negative results, even if it's not initially discernible. Those two archers, both shooting the arrow, it also wasn't discernible from the outset, neither at the time that they shot their arrow, nor at the time that the arrow was flying through the air. It looked exactly the same. Cain, B'nai Anurim. Two children in Heva, don't they all basically look the same? But look at the results. The one who came from a solid home, the one who came from Anshei Chinuch, the one whose children were invested with Hashkofas HaTeiro, Avas HaTeiro, Chachme HaTeiro, Gedoile HaTeiro, Midois Tevas, Yerushomayim. Those are the ones who are Oichlim, Oilam HaZeh, and Noichalim, Bo'olam Habo. I wish you all a good Shabbos, and we should hear the Ezer Hashem, the Surah Tevis.